You're listening to the Refined Hippie Podcast, a show all about holistic lifestyle, nutrition, and plant-based veganism for a mind-body-spirit approach to living healthfully and happily for ourselves and our planet. Welcome to the show, my lovely friend. I am your host, Rebecca Henson. It is so wonderful to have you here today for this very exciting show with my friend Amber Law. Amber is a certified hypnotherapist who specializes in clinical regression and spiritual hypnotherapy. She is also the founder of Inner Guidance Hypnotherapy, which is an international association of counselors and therapists. Amber and I chat all about hypnosis. We chat about how she got into it. We also discuss alpha wave brain state, who can be hypnotized, meditation, affirmations, how she can help empower a person to become the controller of their life, how we can deprogram old beliefs, fear state, fight or flight, immune system, visualizations, and how limiting beliefs can develop. So without further ado, here is my chat with Amber Law. Hi, Amber. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Rebecca. Thanks for having me.
I am so excited to have you on. We met, like a few weeks ago. I came into Healing Leaves with my mom to, I got her a facial for Christmas. And I was like, oh my gosh, I should have Amber on the show and talk about hypnosis. Cause I don't think I was mentioning before we started, I had on somebody way early, a friend of mine who did the quantum healing hypnosis, but we can get into the differences and obviously what there are different types of hypnosis. So anyways, I am so excited to have you on to talk about this subject.
Well, thanks so much. Yeah, that was an exciting kind of day. I think you were doing a foot detox or something, yeah. Right? And I, for some reason, was pulling out Joe Dispenza's book and then just launched into something about hypnosis. I didn't even know, like, you did podcasts or anything. And then you're like, do a show. I'm like, sure.
I was like, this would be a great episode. I need to have her on. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you for inviting me.
Totally. Before I even ask what hypnosis is, I am curious how you got into this work.
Oh, I mean, so I feel like, honestly, probably since childhood, but definitely in my teenage years, started reading books all about the mind, how the mind-body connection. I was just very into everything, psychology, and, you know, health coach, all of that stuff. And to me, I had probably 10 different hypnosis books in my childhood, like teenage bedroom. Yeah,
it was. Oh my gosh, what an interesting teenager.
That's awesome. A little unusual, maybe, but I had a lot of fun with it. And then I had my kids pretty young, two little boys, and they did not like sleeping bedtime. So I used not really hypnosis, but just drift off visualization, soft voice, and body relaxation techniques to help them go to sleep at night. I would do that a lot. And I don't know. I've always been so interested in the power of the mind, the emotions, how it all can affect the whole holistic, how it all goes together, how our mind, our thoughts, our talk, the way we accept things, and just understanding how we form our mind, how our mind becomes like our beliefs and everything. And I feel like it's been a lifetime work. And then I would take some coaching type classes or some little hypnosis classes, but I did photography. I wasn't really ever thinking of using it other than for my family or friends. It was just something that felt natural to me. And so I didn't really ever really work for the certifications. I just enjoyed taking some of the classes, bits and pieces here and there. And then as my boys got older, I was just like doing it for more and more people and just kind of twisting or reframing negative thoughts, and it was just coming out naturally. And people were like, why don't you get your certificate? Why don't you do this? And I'm like, you know what? Yeah, the kids are older. And so, and I think 2019, I was certified and with a lady, Bryn Blankenship, out of Hampstead, luckily. And it was close by in the Michael Newton Institute. And then I've done Mike Mandel hypnosis and some NLP. So I've kind of, but that was definitely my strongest foundation. I worked with another lady before Bryn. I can't think of her name right now, but it was kind of like a whole different, but transpersonal hypnotherapy. So that was all more of the body relaxation, like a deep meditation, and then transformative work. Then I got into the clinical. And so I just keep building my skills. I mean, every year I'm learning more skills, or, and with every session, I mean, it's just, there's like this whole toolbox that I can use and shift within my mind. And it's what I think I love the most about it is it's limitless, like truly limitless. Like if the practitioner can imagine and come up with it, and the person's open to kind of imagining, then there's really like so many possibilities. And yeah,
wow. It's so fascinating. I'm so intrigued by it. I don't know, my story is I had my own healing journey. I had autoimmune issues, and through that I found holistic health, and obviously then recognizing the mind, body, spirit approach to healing is to fully heal. That is the way. And then learning the power of the mind is just like so incredibly fascinating. And I've done a lot of visualization work and of course affirmations and things like that. But the hypnosis is like, I feel like it's totally different, but it's a different level maybe.
It's a deeper level. It's kind of a faster way of accessing. You can do it on your own through meditation. I mean, you can like get into that same alpha, or even I really kind of shoot for the theta state. So it's like just before the sleep state. It's kind of that in-between time of waking up, or like as you're drifting off and you're still kind of aware that you're in the room, you know. But most of the time we're probably working more in the alpha wave state, which is a great state. So we can get in that state by ourselves. I do it all the time. It can take some practice. But that's also part of what I try and do with my clients, is to help teach them how to get there on their own. Mm. The difference I would say is kind of like the change work and the affirmations, because it's one thing to kind of get yourself in that mind, but without someone kind of asking the right question or to lead, or, you know what I mean? Like that's where it can make this huge impact, where someone else is like kind of outside of it leading it. So you can like go more and not try to be doing it all. Cause usually you'll just, you know, I mean, you can do some self-work for sure. And it's great to do it all the time, but yeah, you can really make some rapid transitions with when you have somebody like helping to take you deeper and hold that space.
Yeah. Okay. So what is hypnosis?
So there are so many kind of definitions out there of hypnosis. It's funny, you know, but to me personally, I feel like honestly, almost everything is hypnosis. And that's where I said there's going to be a little bit of twist on this. So therapeutic hypnosis is using what we are doing naturally every day. We are naturally going in and out of trance states all throughout the day. Anyway, our brain waves are changing at different levels throughout the day. And so what the difference is when you're working with someone is that we're taking that natural state and like helping to guide you there, help you to stay there long enough to really get some work and access to the subconscious mind. Why I say I feel like almost everything is because we're taking it in. I mean, this might be moving and transitioning into another part of it, but when we're watching TV, advertisements, radios, it's bypassing the critical faculty of the mind, going straight into the subconscious. We're not even aware. So to me, that is a little bit scary. To me, we're not paying attention unless you're being very, very conscious. But if you're driving, listening to the ads, listening to the news, it's just kind of going in and creating fears and all sorts of things. So
they know this.
Oh yeah, they use they know it. This. I mean, they use it. Salespeople use it.
Yeah.
So there is the different types of forms. So there's some people who are purposely using it. Some it's just the natural state of like how our mind is working because our conscious mind is focused on one thing and then other things are coming in. Sometimes it's also something that's just happening to you throughout the day. Somebody says something, I mean, common, it's kind of going inward. So to me, it's just a lot of it is really about just how the mind takes in something, what sticks, what doesn't, because whatever sticks is usually going to be connected to a trigger that we've already had in the past that means something to us. And that's why it hurts. If somebody says something that's not a trigger, we're just going to be like, okay, whatever, you know what I mean? But if it's a trigger, it's going to come in and stick. And then there's a lot of times that we're just not recognizing where these different thoughts, beliefs, and all are coming from. So the difference of true hypnosis and what people think of it as is that when you come in, you're giving me like your goals, your what you're needing to work on. And we're kind of teaming up in a co-creative process of working together in that state. Your mind is alerted to the fact that you're going in hypnosis. So there's already, that's what makes the difference. You're aware that you're about to go into this state. You are wide, you are alert. In fact, hypnosis is actually a hyper-focused state rather than you're not asleep. You are tapping into a, you know, a very internal state, but you're very aware, very focused. I mean, you can fall asleep. Some people could fall asleep, I guess, but you're actually focused just inward rather than outward. And yeah, you know, so there, yeah, I'm sorry. I feel like I got a little lost.
I do that all the time.
I was like, well, I'm not sure which way I'm going. I just don't want to keep like going into too much that might answer like other questions before you ask them. So.
Yeah. Well, do you think, I had mentioned this before we recorded of me having a fear that I can't be hypnotized. Can anybody be hypnotized, or is it more difficult for certain types of personalities or, you know, traits that people have that make it more, you know, challenging to go under? Is that what it's called, to go under? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of technically say that. Like, I don't know, I'm trying to be, yeah, a little scary, but I guess, sorry, I kind of remembered to just to sum up that last little part real quick. But basically, so together, when we're together, I'm working with you. And so this ties into this question too, because I'm working and navigating with what you're needing at the time. And so it's a very, very safe, because one, you're aware, your mind's aware, your protection's up. It knows like, hey, okay, we're working together. So to answer your question about if all people can be, to me, it's really about what are your expectations of hypnosis. This is not going to be stage hypnosis. I'm not going to be telling you to do this or do that. It's really just a sinking inward, looking inward, opening up, allowing your imagination. Sorry, I got a new phone and I do not know how to. I'm thinking I turn it off and
make
I'm like,
go, but it's quiet.
Yeah, I'm like, I hit the quiet. I just put it on sleep. Hopefully it won't do that again. I'm so sorry.
It's
okay. So there are some people who definitely go right into hypnosis without a problem. I would say if people who are super strong visualizers, yeah, they're like really easy to kind of get there. And that's great. But I feel like every single person, because we're kind of going through life, getting like a trance hypnosis, you know, we've got different states happening. So when we start to look at it, that maybe you're not going to have this like really crazy extreme thing, like you're just laying there. Maybe your body felt really, really relaxed. But the difference is if you can stay and have someone helping you stay inwardly focused, you might have some little thoughts breaking through, like little things going, oh, is this working? And then if someone will say that, I can work with that. talk to you about that, and then we kind of can clear that out of the way and make room to go. So there's a trust factor with that too. So it sort of depends on the person, but personally, I really do feel like everyone can be hypnotized. It's just thinking about it's what you're expecting out of it, I guess. I mean, like, changes will happen. A lot of people are going to feel like they weren't hypnotized at all because they didn't do anything over the top silly, but major transformations in their mindset can happen. And the truth is, a lot of times we are trying to keep the conscious mind active over there doing something else while the subconscious is getting the message, getting what is needed to happen to change. So the conscious mind may not even have recognized what all was going forward. Then the conscious kind of is coming into, I mean, the unconscious is coming conscious. So like the reframing, the newer beliefs, the more positive feelings that your goals that we talked about prior will start to take place and happen. And so I would say the difference is more people are going to be aware of that than others. And then later, I mean, people might say, I wasn't hypnotized at all, but they'll come back, give it another try. And I'm like, so what did you notice after that? And they name all of their goals have been happening. All the changes were happening. So, you know, I feel like as long as somebody has an open mind and a willingness to try, and they're willing to kind of tell me what thoughts are happening, I can work with that. And it's like a flowing, we're just going to go through until we find that way in, and, you know, change will happen.
Mm-hmm. How exciting for you, you know, to have somebody come back and then tell you all the.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, definitely. Especially when someone doesn't think, you know, oh, yeah. Like, I don't know. I don't think it, but I mean, truth be told, because some people's expectations are, well, I heard everything you said. Yes. I need you to, in my type of hypnotherapy, people are talking back and forth. Once they get to a deep enough state, then I'll start asking them some questions and kind of going through that. And so by being able to talk, they will remember most everything. I mean, sure, if it's a long session, some things might be forgotten, but so some people think because if they remember what I said, that they weren't hypnotized, or because they were talking, they weren't hypnotized. So I really think it's about the expectation of what they've seen in their past or what they're thinking hypnosis is. If they think they're gonna, you know, be doing some crazy stuff on like the stage and well, I didn't do any of that, so I wasn't hypnotized. But most of the time, it doesn't that different. It just feels really relaxing. It's just that there's a lot of really fast-paced work happening, transformation happening, things mm-hmm. like that. Does that help?
Yeah, totally. And it made me think of, and I'd love your thoughts on this, of I have had sleep issues my entire life. Like, I overanalyze everything. When I go to bed, I'm like rehashing often, you know, when I was little, I would even do this rehashing like the day or even anticipating, you know, the next day. And so I've always had major challenges falling asleep. And then I know some people who literally can just hit the pillow and they're out. And I'm like, why can't I do that? You know, I wonder do you think that those people, it's even easier for them, maybe? I mean, maybe for people like me, it can happen. It's just a little more challenging. Or what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think if you're hyper analytical, I am too. So I know that. And I've worked with some of those same challenges with myself of like sleeping at night. It potentially could be, but I also think it's just a willingness of like saying, hey, my thoughts are telling me this right now. And like, this is going through my mind. And I'm like, okay, you're not going to hurt my feelings. Like if it's like, no, this isn't working, I just want to think about this or whatever, then I know how to direct it back and to help you to like focus. Most of the time though, that's really not a big problem, even with really analytical people. I mean, I will say there can be a difference for sure in how long you might have to kind of work through that compared to someone who goes in. So I feel like there are people who go in really easy, and then there's people that it takes a little more work and effort. But But I mean, that is a really good point that you're saying, because you, if your mind's just going, then when you're
like my
trying
husband,
to
he can meditate. I can meditate. But I say that I'm not as good at it, which sounds weird. It's like saying somebody's not as good at yoga as somebody else, which is weird phrase. But it seems like he is a better meditator than I am. So I'm like, I feel like he would be easy to hypnotize.
What do you feel like you have a hard time with meditation? Just keeping the thoughts away?
Trying to, yeah. Well, and it's one of those things, like you say, it takes time and work. And if I'm more active with my meditation practice, then obviously I start getting better. If I'm out of it and then I'm trying to get back into meditation and I haven't been doing it for weeks or, you know, months sometimes, then it can be more challenging. But it's just like, you know, kind of like riding a bike.
And what do you feel kind of is challenging? Like, do you tend to do better if you're following a guided hypnosis, like something to listen to versus just trying to sit there and focus on the breath? And
the issue is honestly my cats. And I know that sounds ridiculous, but trying to meditate at my house is more challenging because I have two cats that keep coming in and out. And if I'm just trying to sit there being quiet, they think it's weird. So they come in and they're like,
it's funny
doing?
Because animals definitely do pick up on. I've had people ask, can they bring their dogs? And we've tried it a few times, but you know, like service animals are very sensitive, and they kind of feel that there is a little bit of a change to say, like, hey, we're out.
What's going on here?
Yeah. And I would recommend, I really find it that I have an amazing time being outside of my home because I have dogs to meditate. So being like at Healing Leaves, for instance, I can have fantastic meditations. I'm like, why can't I do this at home? But the other thing is, if you feel safe enough in a safe enough place or like out in the yard, outdoor can really help to connect you. I feel like it really can help with me too. But yeah, I mean, I also feel like, so I usually will begin with, I mean, I have several different techniques kind of depending on what's happening, but in general, I'll usually start with kind of a guided meditation, taking deeper body relaxation, stuff like that. So I find it for myself sometimes, I've got a lot going on too. And it's sometimes like, I'm just not doing the whole monk thing of just quieting the mind. And so a guided meditation, but I love like a guided meditation that then just stops, like once I'm deep enough with some nice music going, but that can really help give you something to focus on too and be less distracting. And so I do think that that's one of the things that's more helpful in hypnosis, is that there's somebody guiding you. There's also some other things that we're doing, tips and tricks that aren't always out there in meditation, you know, and, but I'm going to be so curious when you come in and try it to see, because there really is so many different ways of working with it, you know, of getting you. And so it sort of depends on what you're trying to experience too. And sometimes what somebody's trying to get back to also may not always come up, because there may be something else that's is right on the surface, ready to be explored. So that can be something as well. So they might not always, I mean, usually we can always get to where they want to go, but sometimes there's some other things that they weren't even aware of. Like there's like the band-aid issue that feels right up front. And then there's like maybe a little bit of a deeper thing you know what I mean? And, you know, for example, that could be like weight loss or weight relief, you know, some of these typical type of things. And it may not go straight to being about food or motivation. It might go to something else a little bit first that's really needing to be healed so that they can then be motivated. It might be a self-worth feeling, you know, it just depends on what it is going on. So that's where also doing a lot of the inner work and the, even at home, the affirmations, the reframing, the talk, catching yourself. We all have records playing in our mind. And if we can catch that and say, you know, instead of, oh, I'm so tired, I'm exhausted, I don't want to go out tonight, you know, or whatever, it's like, No, I choose to feel wide awake. I feel excited. I have more energy than I need, you know, and you can just start like saying it out loud. And yeah, maybe it seems stupid to say it out loud, but if you say it out loud and you get an excited voice, it starts getting your, blood flowing and pumping up. But even internally, just saying those things, we say so many negative things to ourselves all the time, and we don't think that's, stupid. Why
Yeah,
not
I know.
go
Why do we not
into
think
the
that's
positive?
stupid?
Why not be our own
We're mean to
cheerleader?
ourselves.
Yeah, it's like people are like, oh, I don't like affirmations. And I'm like, but how many negative things are you saying to yourself all day long?
All day. All day. And I used to think like Tony Robbins or like in the 90s there were all of these like self-help tapes and you watch a silly movie and the person's driving along to work all by themselves listening to the tape
Listen
and it
to it,
sounds
yeah.
so silly and you're like God that is so weird that people do that and now I'm like no it's not like
No.
it is so, like we all need to be doing that.
Yes. And I think that's the thing. It just, kind of started off like, oh, that's weird. I don't want to look in the mirror and say that to myself. You don't have to look into a mirror. It can help a little bit if you want to, but I know that that feels like very, oh, that's those weird people doing that self-love affirmation stuff. But I'm like, no, this is very simplistic. This is how our mind works. What do you want to hear? What are you hoping somebody's gonna say to you? What do you really need to hear? Do you need to hear, good job, you're working really hard? Say it to yourself. Why not? And there's even ways of going back into childhood and saying the things that we didn't maybe hear. And that can be really powerful when you start being the one that is your own cheerleader, who is getting really being the person that is telling yourself, then you're not counting on anyone else to do that for you, because that can come and go. You can find the right person who's saying the right things, but as soon as they stop or they're no longer there, then what? So we want to meet. That's the whole point, really, of what my hypnosis is about, is empowering you to become the controller of your own mind, how to learn how to work it, how it works, and how to reframe it, how to use it, with impact, so that you can get the life that you want to live instead of just being kind of like programmed by old beliefs or old things that are holding you back. And once people just understand the mind, it doesn't have to be so difficult, really. And it's like, yeah, some of these things might seem silly, but they're hugely impactful, because otherwise a lot of what's running through our mind is so negative, and most of the time we're not even catching half of what we're saying, and or we're getting on ourselves, I didn't accomplish this. But what if we take every time we hear that and we name five things that we did accomplish? Okay, maybe somebody's really depressed and they brush their teeth and, I don't know, move from the bed to the couch or something. Hey, that was an accomplishment. You know what I mean? Like, wherever you are, find anything that you were able to do that day and move it up. But, I mean, that's not the case for everyone, but that's kind of when you're in a really, if you can't find anything, start with something. If you made a little bit of progress that day, write it down. Cheerlead yourself about it and build yourself up. And then that starts building momentum and keeps it going more and more,
It's focusing on the positive and the good things, which our brain is so wired to
Focus on
focus
the
on the
negative.
negative, like so
Right.
much.
I mean, and for good reason. I mean, it's kind of frustrating, but it all goes back to survival. And so it makes sense that we need to be more in tune and worried about the negative, but because that's so strong, that's why we really need to consciously focus on bringing in the positive as much as possible, to say, I am safe right here and right now. There's nothing here that, because the adrenaline, we've got so much media coming at us in ways. I mean, I feel like there was something I heard, like, early 1900s, people had a newspaper and they read like the local news, or they'd hear some news. If you're paying attention, scrolling through, or just, we've got world news coming in at this impact, and it feels like everything is all around us at once. That is scary if we're taking it in at that way. And it just, isn't something that many generations before us have had to deal with at this rate, you know?
Totally. Yeah. You read the newspaper, you read the headlines.
You watched the evening news.
And then you went about your day the rest, and then didn't have to think about it at all. And now it's just overwhelming. And then with social media, which is good and bad, but like, I even think about this with, you know, the holistic health space, which I am obsessed with. And there's so many toxins everywhere, but I know people who they're so fearful for everything now. And it's good to be aware, but now they're terrified of everything. And I'm like, oh, well, that's not good. Now you're going to get sick from that, you know?
Absolutely. And that is kind of one of the biggest things that I work on with people. It's great to be healthy. It's great to be, but if you're in a fear state over everything you put in your mouth, you're giving your mind subconscious directions every time. So if you're like, oh my gosh, what is in this and what am I going to take in? You're creating fear, which is making the cortisol levels. Now you're putting yourself in a state of fight or flight. Now you can't digest whatever it is. Your immune system can't work with it. You are much better off to say, oh, I'm at this restaurant. I'm going to get this lovely, healthy meal that's nourishing me. I have this company in front of me. You don't have to say this out loud. You can just be saying it quickly in your mind. And that's kind of some of the ways, especially you could start doing it at home. I mean, that's kind of where like the prayer before eating, if you are doing that, but you're thinking, wow, this food's really going to nourish my body and I'm really grateful and thankful for it. It's programming to you're telling your mind, this is going to be good for me and you're going to use it for good. You know, we get to tell our minds and our bodies like, hey, this is how we want it. So if we're like, oh my gosh, I just got poisoned, this is going to happen, then everything's kind of alarms, frantic, cortisol's flying. You can't digest when, you know, if you're in fight or flight, you can't rest and digest things. So then you're going to not feel well, you know, and it can just really, but you're right. There's a big problem with fear right now. And that's one of the biggest things that I work with. It's just our minds are getting overwhelmed with the amount of information coming at us, and you are so much better off to turn off some of that. You're going to hear about anything big that's going on, but if you're just constantly hearing or focusing on every scary story, imagining you're putting that image in your head, then that is right there living in your head all the time. So it's not that we're not aware, we know what's going on in the world. We're quickly like, you know, catching up on little tips or like what's happening. And then we turn it off. It's like, turn it off, let it go. Don't soak it in. Don't watch the horror stories, the victim's description of how sad and terrible like that, you know.
And it doesn't mean you don't care, you know, obviously. Yeah.
Right. It's not about care, but if we're in such a fear state, then how can we help others in the world? How can we do a lot of good in the world? Because we're going to really be in such a fearful, you know, if you allow yourself to get that deeply. I mean, I know that's a little extreme. There's plenty of people who do good in the world and watch news, but we can do so much better when we are uplifted and not in a fearful state. Because if we're doing things out of fear, it's not always going to be the best kind of.
Yeah. And, you know, that makes me think of kind of the collective, and we don't have to get, this could be a whole nother topic, but it's like the collective energy, you know, and I can feel that. I mean, you felt that during like COVID, like,
oh yeah.
Oh my gosh, because everybody's freaking out. And then it just becomes, it's like a virus in itself is fear. Right. And
right. So
this is why like certain areas of the country were even worse off, I think, because they were in a more heightened state of fear. And then the people who were just like, they were actually better off.
Absolutely. And then even then, I mean, we're all aware there's this virus out there, COVID, there's shutdown, you know. But the other thing you can be doing is like, wow, I have an amazing immune system. I remember the time I had the flu a few years ago. I was so sick. And then my body did the miraculous thing and I recovered, I healed. So even just talking to your immune system, like reminding yourself, does that mean like if you get it that, you know, no, but there's no,
you can make it worse.
Right. If you are getting in fear, then once we get into fight or flight, you know, I mean, in fight or flight, I mean, I know everybody knows it's like the whole, like a lion's chasing you, you're running. So all of your energy is kind of going to like your legs to either run, you know, whatever that response is going to be. So it's not concerned about your immune system. It's not concerned about resting and digesting or your health. In that moment, it's about getting out of an emergency situation. So only what's going to be online is the most important things to get you out of that situation. Most of us are living in fight or flight on a 24/7 hour basis. And so our immune system, everything is going to be shot. And so to me, getting ourselves out of fear is one of the most important things we can do.
Mm-hmm. So important. I know you said that fear is a common thing, reason that people come to you. I mean, do they know that that's a reason why they're coming to you, or it ends up coming out that that's kind of where they're in?
So, I mean, I would say some people begin recognizing that. Yeah. I mean, sometimes it might be over a specific fear, but, you know, or they're just having so much anxiety, or it's becoming where they don't want to go out in public, or sometimes it's social anxiety. I mean, it's so sad, like how a lot of kids and younger people were really affected with COVID and the shutdown. I work with my nephew quite a bit, who was, I think, in second grade when COVID shut down, and how scary to all these children who all of a sudden there's this virus. Now the whole world shut down, their whole life. He was terrified. And so I worked with him quite a bit. That was like, you know, buddy, right now your immune system is so strong and healthy, you know, kind of like what I was saying and talking about. And then he was really, I mean, and there was a lot of some other like health issues that were happening in our family. I think one of his grandparents on the other side kind of like passed away from something different. So just a lot for a little child to take on at once. And so really started working with him, but he was getting some anxiety. And so I would help reframe. And he said every time he heard an ambulance that it made him scared. Like it was just scary. Like it meant like emergency, like alarms are going off. And I said, oh yeah, that makes sense. But can you imagine a world without ambulances? And I was like, where would they get help? Maybe that siren could mean help is on the way instead of, oh, there's an emergency. And just reframing it to in his little mind that way, he really took to that. And it's like, by every time you hear that siren, you know that if you ever need help, we're lucky enough to have in our world the ability to get need it. And so say a prayer to whoever, wherever that ambulance is going, that that person gets the help they need. And so that really helped him in with that and fear. And then that kind of brings into the mind, I mean, the body part of it too, is that, I feel like it's okay for me to talk about him a little bit, because my sister-in-law said, you should put this up on your website.
Yeah, story, yeah.
So cool. But, he had a time when he was out of the country and there was something really scary, and my sister-in-law called to say, can you talk with him, because he had developed a rash. And at first she wasn't sure if it was food, but she's like, I think it's anxiety related, because he was really scared. There's big city and like tons of ambulances and
overwhelming. Mm-hmm.
And within 20 minutes of getting him relaxed, and in fact, because she wasn't sure if it was food, she had drawn in markers kind of where the rash was to see if it was growing or not. Sometimes you'll do that just in case.
Yeah, like, no, that makes sense. Yeah.
So it's kind of cool because we actually have pictures. So about a 15 minutes of just relaxing him and then reframing some things of his fears, and then having him visualize that rash going away, completely away, and really, you know, just kind of giving him some descriptive. I'm like, is it gone in your mind? He's like, yes. And I'm like, okay. So then we kind of come back up, and kids are really easy and imaginative anyway. And I was like, how are you feeling? He's like, great. And he's like, my rash is gone. He's like, Mom, come look. And she's like, Amber, I'm not kidding. The rash is gone.
Wow.
And she sent me the pictures of before and after, but it just shows how much a state of stress can be reactive on the outside of our body, and how just calming ourselves,
getting powerful the mind is.
Yes.
Amazing.
Super powerful.
Like that is an incredible story to show the power of it like that quickly too.
That quickly. Yeah. Like it didn't take, I mean, it was just red, inflamed, like itchy, kind of raised, like rash. And that alone can start provoking more anxiety because, you know, the mom didn't know, is this food, is this anxiety? And luckily, she kind of connected that it was him being scared and thought, why not give Amber a try? And but it really, I think that, and he said, wow, you made it go away. And I'm like, no, you did with the power of your mind. Like, and that's the thing. It's like, I maybe gave you the right words to train, but that's the whole point, is for them to start, for everyone to start realizing we can learn this. We can learn how to do this. We can like work with the professionals, but then we take those tools with us and we learn how to do it outside. And yeah. And we can recognize and get ourselves out of a state of anxiety. Sometimes something scary happens and we're getting worked up. So having the tools to like de-escalate the situation as fast as possible is huge.
I love it. I'm so excited for my session. before we wrap it up, I am like, what are some other common reasons that people come to you? Like the most common?
Like, it's so funny. There's really not truly like ones, you know, a lot of people think of smoking. That's really the least one that I get.
Well, smoking, I think is like, is it that common anymore? I don't know.
No, maybe. But vaping is, but.
Oh, yes. Oh, I forget about that.
Yeah. But, you know, people call about that. But honestly, I would say most of the time, people just not really loving how their life is going. So maybe a depression or like just can't really seem to like get themselves motivated. Really, I would say they want to get out of a state that they're just not happy with. They want to kind of get motivated to get a life on a better track than the way it's headed. You know, some people have really faced a lot of traumas in their past, and so then they created behaviors, patterns or addictions that help put a band-aid on that. And then when they're ready to like say, this isn't working. And I mean, some of my most favorite cases that are just amazing to me with how fast things can transform is some of my older clients who have had, I mean, 50 years of a major trauma, like since they were, you know, kids. And within 1-2 at the most sessions, whole life has just totally transformed, been on medicine, all this stuff. And it's like just being able to like see it a different way. Because when we're kids, when we're young, we blame ourselves for everything. So we continue through our adult life thinking, oh, that was my fault, or the perception of it might have been taken wrong. And, you know, we could have perceived it wrong, or we could have thought it was our fault. And so when we can bring that, our wisdom, our life experience, because when a kid just doesn't have any life experience either, plus it's a survival mechanism to make sure that the people around them, the adults, are loving them and taking care of them. So it's better for them to feel like it's their fault than something's wrong with their parents or anything like that. So when we can take our years of experience, and I mean, this works for young people, just like my nephew too, but for some of these big ones, I think that's why the transformation is able to happen so quickly, because when they can see that issue from kind of that child, you, the pattern, the thoughts, everything that they created around that situation, bring the wisdom of all of their life experience to that situation. It may still be a terrible situation, but there's always going to be some sort of shift, some sort of realization of like, well, I had no control of that. I was 4 years old, but this whole time I thought I should have done something differently, and it just sticks. So it can be very simple just to say, this was not you couldn't have done anything. You weren't in charge of this. You were little, you know, but from that, or from that self-concept that can start to develop, that's where the limiting beliefs start to come in, and then it unfolds here and there. And that's really where I get so excited about learning the mind. Like the first 7 years of life, kids are in a hypnotic state. And so they're little sponges absorbing everything, but they don't have the life experience to put it in the right context. So a child who's at school or, you know, something, and I don't know, maybe they do a show and tell and some of the kids are laughing in the back, but it has nothing to do with them, but they take it as they're being laughed at, may have a fear of giving presentations later on when they're older. A child who is just super excited and maybe the mom or dad or someone's had a long day at work, they've got a pounding headache, they've just picked up the kid, the kid's like super excited, singing some new song they just learned, and the parent's headache is so bad, and finally they just kind of have an outburst of, stop it, I can't take the sound of your voice anymore, or something like that. Not saying that's a bad parent, they didn't mean to, their head's thumping. That potentially could become, the child could easily, instead of saying, oh, mommy has a headache and doesn't feel good and I need to lower my voice, could think the sound of my voice, my singing voice, is not good. And that made mommy yell at me. So they can sometimes not attribute, you know, it's not saying, you know, that the parent might have been able to react differently, but they didn't. So, but they can take the wrong, it wasn't about the child's voice. It was about the condition that the parent was in the moment, but in their own mind
or whatever. With
And in their minds, like, well, we got this horrible reaction from our mom the last time. Never sing again. Don't ever do that again. And usually it may not end just right there. That might just be like the first one, but then there'll start to be some other little things, because that's like the seed. Somebody else might say, oh, don't quit your day job and become a singer. You know, a couple of little comments like that, and then boom, you got a full-on belief. And you could have had someone who might have had a voice that was worthy of being a pop star that never wanted to sing out loud or learn to sing. And yeah, so that's some examples of how limiting beliefs can form. And I don't say that to scare parents either, because I also don't want to put them in a state of fear of like, you mean if I lose it once I can, it's like, no, but just take the time. If you do, that's going to happen to all of us as parents. We're human, we make mistakes. It's just really great to go back in and make sure the message was, oh, you know, when I fussed at you about that, I want you to understand that you have a lovely, beautiful voice and I love hearing you sing, but my head was hurting so bad. Do you remember that time you weren't feeling so good and everything seemed to hurt and your loud sounds? That's what was going on. It was about me having this headache, not about the sound of your voice. I'd love for you to sing for me and show me that song when I'm feeling a little better. That's where you can kind of go back and fix a little bit and just make sure they're understanding and putting the right way, you know? So you don't have to like live in fear of hurting your kid, because that's not going to be good either. So I just feel like I try to be really careful. It's like, I want to educate and tell people how these beliefs are formed, but I also want to make sure that I'm not putting another group of people in a state of fear.
In a state of fear. And boils down to communication, right? I mean, as long as you're communicating with the other person or your child in a way that, you know, makes them realize that they're not.
The next day or a week later, yeah. It doesn't have to be. It's just at some point before it becomes so stuck in their system that, and they've made conclusions and drawn perhaps the wrong conclusion. Or, you know, for instance, a child colors on the wall with crayons or markers and the mom is like, what?
Breaks out.
Proud of himself for this beautiful mural he's made. Instead of realizing that it was because he drew on the wall, he might think it's his art, you know.
Yeah, and he could have been a great artist.
So those are some easy ways that we can just develop, like, there was correction needed, no problem that the mom like kind of freaked out a little bit, but it's just that we want to make sure that they understand that it wasn't the art, it was where they did the art. Yeah. Or something.
We have paper for that.
Right. And, you know,
canvas.
Most parents are becoming more and more aware. It's becoming more knowledgeable. So in many ways, I feel like generations back, that the growth mindset wasn't there as much. You know, we just had, it was a different parenting style. So a lot of times we're kind of undoing a lot of that. That just didn't get communicated. But it's also good to be aware of how it works and how you can undo it if you do have a little.
Or there's like those generations that are like, just get over it, you'll be fine.
I mean, like playing sports when I was growing up, shake it off. I mean, I like smacked in the mouth. You got blood coming down. They're like, shake it off. You got this. I'm like, okay.
Do I? I don't know.
All right.
Okay.
It's pretty hardy, but but maybe not as tuned into our bodies. So many of us have had to learn to tune into our body. And really, that's kind of maybe one of the other points I kind of just want to draw back in a little with going into the body. So some people who are a little bit harder, or like you were asking, difficult. Mm-hmm. It might just be that they're not strong visualizers, especially in the beginning, but they may be feeling a lot in their body. So in a hypnotic state, a lot of times sensations are coming up and you're feeling them more strongly. And you might notice them sometimes in everyday situations, like every once in a while I do this and I get this weird tinge, or I'm really stressed and my neck hurts or my headaches are coming up. Well, in hypnosis, when those pains start kind of rising up, we can start to connect what sort of emotions are happening when you're feeling them in your everyday life. And then we can work with it. And when you start to feel that coming on, you're like, oh yes, I'm feeling judged right now. Or I'm feeling like I'm not doing a good enough job, you know, or something like that. And then you can work with it. So body sensations are a great way in for hypnosis or meditation, even just sitting and feeling, does something feel heavy? Does any, you know, feel out of place? And a lot of times it can feel like a heaviness on your chest if like there's something hurting with your heart or shoulders or back, but it can be like anywhere in the body. I mean, I've had it in somebody's toe before, you know, it's interesting where it goes, but it gets lodged in the body until we kind of make that connection and move it out. It can grow into like arthritis, other problems. I don't know, you know, like it can become more and more of a problem. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Well, this has been super fun and fascinating. And I can't wait to do part two. So stay tuned, everyone, because we're going to do a part two after I do my hypnosis therapy session. Okay. I will put all of your information in the show notes and we'll have you back on in soon.
That's so awesome. Thank you so much. I appreciate you.
Thank you. I hope you enjoyed that episode. I cannot wait to record the second installment of this hypnosis series, and we will discuss my experience getting hypnotized. So until next time, my lovely friend, peace and plants.